Secret Life of Kenneth Williams with Richard Caldicott, Josephine Tewson, and Leslie Heritage. Chapter 7, A Terribly Strange Death. And here's the man who reveals all, Mr. Kenneth Williams.
I expect you've all seen that James Bond picture where the brazen Azzy writes her room number in lipstick under his kilt.
Oh.
Well, I've had a similar experience at a Burns night supper whilst also wearing the kilt. I was seated next to this luscious blonde, and whilst choking down the haggis, I feel this soft, warm caress on my naked thigh.
Ooh.
Well, quickly swallowing what I was eating, I put down my knife and fork, because you can't concentrate on two things at once. And I said, is there anything I can do to facilitate matters? She said, yes, squirt your soda siphon up your sporran. I've dropped my cigarette. Well, me haggis went all cold and uninteresting after that. Yes, you know, you felt that, have you? Yes. Well, it all goes to illustrate, doesn't it, that things seldom work out in fact as they do in fiction. Take, for instance, today's story, which began when I was finishing my sophisticated cabaret act at the Bingley Moor Working Men's Club.
Other folks may have their fancy food and dine with wine. I just want to feast my eyes upon that kid of mine. Oh, it's one little lad, and he calls me dad. Shake hands with a millionaire. Thank you, thank you.
Curtain, next act, please.
Yeah, thin house tonight, Mr. Murgatroyd.
They'll all come out at bar once they know you've finished.
Mr. Williams.
Thank you, yes.
There's a couple of gentlemen out front asking for you.
Oh, indeed, are they impresarios?
I don't know, it's difficult to tell these days, isn't it?
That was diabolical, Tompkins. There's one little lad who just calls me Dad. Oh, it wouldn't have been so bad if the rest of his act wasn't so indescribably filthy.
Mr. Williams approaching from your left, sir.
Williams. Williams, my dear chap.
Darling.
Yes, no. Come on, get up. Yes, get up, Williams. I was just telling Tompkins how much I enjoyed your act.
Oh, thank you.
The Tompkins didn't like it.
Didn't he?
No. Ooh. Then he's got no taste for it. Now, listen. I understand you're performing at Mumsy Moor next week.
Yes, that's right.
I'm staying at Mrs. Winterbottom's theatrical boarding house.
Oh, you know the dig, you know.
Yes.
How did you know?
We have our method, eh, Tompkins?
Indeed, Sir Charles.
Now, I've got a marvelous assignment lined up for you.
Mm-hmm.
A female spy, a spot of seduction. Think you can handle it?
Oh, I'd love to handle it, Sir Charles.
Yes, I thought you would. Yes. Oh. Well, we'll start getting some early nights. Now, come along. I'll contact you at Mumsy Moor next week with full details.
All right. Hurry up, Maisie, or I'll miss the train.
I'm ironing as quickly as I can. If you're in such a hurry, you can finish your packing.
Oh, all right. Who's been sewing up my pajama trouser front? Is this your handiwork, Maisie?
I'm not saying nothing.
It is you, isn't it? You've been up here ever since I told you about my assignment with this beautiful spy.
You reveled in it.
I didn't.
You even dribbled.
Rubbish. What have you sewed these up with, packing twine?
Is your shirt.
You aim to cramp my style, this lady, don't you? Well, sewing up my pyjama trousers won't hold me up one little bit. Oh, I've got me nail scissors.
So well, I hope your hand slips.
About your tongue, you might get blood poisoning. Maisie.
What?
I don't want you to think I'm going to get any pleasure out of this. It's just a job of work, like shoveling muck or unblocking drains. I mean, just because there's a hot, passionate embrace between a lusty man and a highly desirable woman.
Yes?
I lost my thread. Oh, but you know what I mean, you know.
I don't know why he keeps sending you on these jobs.
Who better equipped, Ducky?
I've offered you as many dummy runs as you like.
You don't blow yourself out on pie and mash if you're going to a banquet. I wonder if I could impose on your limitless generosity and ask you to do one more little thing for me.
Oh, you know me, Kenny. Anything for you.
The zip on my best trousers broken. I can't do it up.
From what I gather, you won't have to.
Oh, poor girl. She can't help it, of course. And I can't help having this fatal fascination with my large nostrils, amongst other things. I think I'll get a taxi to the station. I want to save all my strength for when I get to Mrs. Winterbottom's boarding house for theatrical personages.
Now, stand well back, Winifred. They'll be charging through here in a minute like a load of bullocks. And get the next course ready. They're breaking the lap record for the soup.
Excuse me. Where do I sit?
There's an empty place next to me, lad.
Oh, thank you.
You want to get down a bit smarter? Someone's already drunk your soup. Oh. I'm Professor Zorro of Ventriloquial Fun. You must have heard of me and my comical dummy, Clarence.
Oh, I have indeed. I've seen that one yet. I'm Williams, Kenneth Williams, the great sophisticate.
I never heard of you.
Oh, charming. Just kick me as you pass.
Send the spuds down this end, please. You've met our landlady, Mrs. Winterbottom, haven't you?
I have had that pleasure. She's a big woman, isn't she?
23 stone at the last weigh.
Oh.
Mind you, she's put on a bit of weight since then. Mm. Watch out for her, though. Hot pants were named after her.
Ooh.
And she likes the skinny one.
No.
If she fancies you, you'll get an extra slice of fried bread for your breakfast. Then you're hooked.
Good night. Thanks for the warning. I say, who's that luscious bit of stuff with a bowl of fruit?
Fifi L'Amour, striptease dancer. Watch out for her, my son. She's a man-eater.
I can tell the way she's peeling that banana. And who's that on her left?
Oh, that's Billy Brundish, illusionist. He does that act where he keeps producing doves out of thin air.
Doves? I've seen that. How is it done?
They're concealed about his person. He has them hidden in his trousers.
In his trousers? Where do they perch?
Don't ask me, but he keeps their toenails well clipped. Opposite him is Cyril Chutterly, a female impersonator.
I've met Cyril. Mrs. Winterbottom wanted me to share his room, but I've put my foot down.
Quite right. These female impersonators get too involved with their part.
And they forget their limitations, too. Who on earth is that busty scrubber next to him, dipping her croutons into the mulligatawny?
That is Miss Goldie Bradshaw, my fiancée.
Oh, my darling, what a charming girl, and this one, yes.
She does specialities.
I can imagine.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
She gets fatter every day.
Whoa. May I have your attention, please? Please? Thank you. Firstly, may I introduce and welcome our new guest? I'm sure you've all heard of him, Mr. Benny Williams.
Kenneth Williams.
Of course. We'll have to fatten you up while you're here, Mr. Williams.
Good thing.
Two slices of fried bread with your bacon tomorrow. Now, I have a few well-chosen words to address to our ventriloquial friend, Professor Zorro.
Me or Mrs. Winterbottom?
Yes, you, Professor. And kindly move your lips when you speak to me. I run a good clean house here, as all lovers of purity will testify. Heard your voice emanating from Miss Goldie Bradshaw's bedroom last night.
I didn't leave my room all night, Mrs. Winterbottom. You were taken in by the throwing of my voice.
You also threw your pyjamas in there, which did not take me in at all. Any more of that, and out you go, the pair of you. Well, I will no longer delay your enjoyment of the sumptuous repast I've set before you. Kindly carry on. Mr. Williams.
Yes?
Would you like to see my annex?
Not while I'm having my dinner, thank you. Certainly I don't appreciate
it. It's a privilege denied to all but the favored.
Oh, naturally, Elmont, as the French yes. always say.
My chambers are in the annex across the road.
I think they'd be under the bed.
I'd be honored if you'd join me in a bedtime cup of cocoa.
Oh, you're very kind, I'm sure. I've had a long, hard day, and I really must get to my bed.
But of course. Well, another time,
yes,
perhaps.
The pleasure will be all mine. Yes. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Excuse me. Yes? Can I have your prunes?
Feel free.
That's the idea.
Good night, Mr. Williams.
Good night.
Hello, William.
Oh, Sir Charles.
Shut the door, Tompkins. We mustn't be seen.
Right, sir.
Well, Williams, have you spotted the spy yet?
I'll say I have. Fifi L'Amour. As soon as I saw her peeling that banana, I knew our paths would cross.
Fifi L'Amour.
I know. Well, Goldie Bradshaw. Nah. She would not be my first choice, but it's a consolation prize.
Nor is it Goldie Bradshaw.
Well, the other one's a female impersonator, and the answer's no.
Not the female impersonator.
Well, who then?
Tell him, Tompkins.
I really think that's your job, Sir Charles.
They used to give white feathers to people like you, Tompkins.
Oh.
There's one lady you omitted to mention, William.
It can't be. It's only Mrs. Winter... It's not Mrs. Winterbottom.
Mrs. Winterbottom is the Russian spy.
She looks more like a Japanese wrestler.
Yes, well, appearances in this case are deceptive.
She's pushing 25 stone. What am I supposed to do? Be like the mating of a gazelle with an elephant. What are you talking about?
Not backing out, are you, Williams?
Well,
if there was one man, Her Majesty, and I thought we could trust.
Oh, all right. What have I got to do?
Well, that's my point. Now, have you noticed she wears a chain around her neck? A chain which is tucked down inside her dress. Well, at the end of it, there's a key.
From the size of that chain, I thought it'd be an anchor.
No. We want that key.
Yeah.
Now, her real name is Griselda Muntz, born in Moscow in 1925.
Moscow?
Yes. Now, this place is a cover for a spy's clearinghouse, a sort of post office for secret agents. They bring her the information, and she gets it over to Moscow.
How? By radio?
No, not by radio. The sort of material she handles, documents and plans, has to be delivered direct. Now, we've had the place watched for months, but we can't see how she gets the stuff over.
But what's so important about the key?
It unlocks the safe in her office. Now, in that safe, she's got the top secret blueprints relating to our new underwater detection device. It can detect a nuclear submarine at a range of over 2,000 miles. Now, if the Russians got hold of it...
If you know it's in the safe, arrest her and get the key that way.
Yeah, that's just what Tompkins said, so you can see it's a rotten suggestion.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You see, Mr. Williams, we would prefer to substitute fake blueprints to let the Russians think its effective range is 20 miles at the most.
And if the Russians accept the fakes as genuine, they'll continue to operate their subs in areas where we will be able to detect them. So we've got to borrow the key, open the safe, and swap the papers without anyone being any the wiser.
Now am I to get hold of the key? I'm not plunging my hand down. She might have a rat trap down there for all I know.
Well, she must take it off to go to bed, William.
Well, I'm certainly not hanging around to find out.
She fancies you, my boy.
I know. I'm down for a second slice of fried bread for breakfast. Kiss of doom, I'm told. Oh, no, the answer is no.
Hearts of oak are our ships. Jolly tars are our men.
There's a baritone on the poop deck again. Oh, dear. No!
Oh, well, in that case, we have an alternative plan.
Oh? What?
Means you wouldn't have to go the whole hog.
Oh, or in the present case, our hippopotamus.
Give it to him, Tompkins.
Good Lord, what is it? A billiard ball?
No, Mr. Williams, it's a special kind of sleeping pill. Drop that in her drink and she'll be out like a light for an hour.
It weighs a ton.
Yes, maybe, but it's quick dissolving. And, most important, it leaves no after effects. So she'll never know she's been drunk.
Right.
Now, she's invited you to her room for a cup of cocoa.
Ostensibly.
Yes, well, now tell her you've changed your mind and you'll accept her kind invitation. And when you get the chance, drop the pill in her cup.
Yeah.
And Tompkins and I will be in to help you once she's out cold.
Drop the pill in the cup.
I'm so glad you found yourself able to accept my invitation, Mr. Williams.
I'm delighted that the circumstances made it possible, Mrs. Winterbottom.
You're not embarrassed that I'm in my night attire?
Oh, not at all. We see all sorts of things in our profession.
You don't think it's too revealing?
Oh, if you see the goods before you buy, you won't be disappointed.
Oh, you naughty boy. Now, let's drink our cocoa. Is yours to your liking?
The veriest ambrosia.
I say, what a delightful picture.
Where?
Over there.
Hey, what are you doing to my cocoa?
Oh, just giving it a good stir. Oh. I like a good nude in the bedroom, don't you?
Oh, we seem to share the same taste.
I'm referring to the picture, dear. This is delicious. Go on, drink yours. Drink it, go on.
You haven't put anything in it, have you?
Like what?
Well, like something to get me, well, you know, excited.
Oh, heaven forbid. Oh, why, pour petrol on a forest fire.
Ah, well. Now then, down the hatch.
Wish I could say bottoms up. Yes, there we go.
And now we get down to... Dear, excuse me.
Oh, ready for bed, are you?
Oh, carry me.
I'd be fit for nothing if I could.
You know, all of a sudden I find it hard to keep my eyes open.
Really?
Oh, I think I'll just toddle off and lie down. Mm. Perhaps you'd like to come and tuck me in.
Yeah, you waddle. I mean, you toddle off. I won't be long. I'll be up in a minute.
Up in a minute. I should go.
Who is it?
It's me.
Oh. Has she had it?
Not from me, she had it.
The sleeping tablet, you fool.
Oh, yes, she's had that all right. She's gone to bed. In there.
Right. Come on, then.
What? What now?
Oh, why not?
Well, shouldn't we give it a few minutes?
No. That stuff's instantaneous. I'm sure my wife uses it on me sometimes.
Really? Well, all right, quietly, then.
There she blows. Moby Dick, the great white whale.
Just give her a shake to make certain she's properly asleep.
It's like kicking a lion up the backside to see if he's friendly, isn't it?
Go on.
Are you asleep?
Shake her.
Wakey, wakey.
There's three naked men in your room.
Oh, well, if that won't wake her, nothing will. She's well asleep.
Well, we'll still have to hurry. That stuff only lasts an hour at the most. Now then, where's she put that key?
Oh, look, I'm afraid she still has it round her neck.
What?
Look, see for yourself.
Oh, damn. Well, no matter. We can slip the chain over her head. Now, lift her head off the pillow. Well, hurry up.
It's like a tan white.
Well, we haven't got all night.
I'm doing my best.
Look out, she's stirring. Oh, she's waking up.
I know.
Well, do something.
Rock my baby on the treetop when the wind blows.
Try her head again.
Hold it. She's turning over. Look out. What's the matter?
She's rolled over onto my hand.
Well, pull it out.
I can't.
My circulation's stopping. The blood can't get down to the end of my fingers. Oh, I'm going numb.
Oh, shut up and stop panicking.
I suppose I shall have to get you out of it as usual. Now, if I ease my hand under her shoulder and lift.
No. Ow.
Welcome to the club.
My hand. I'm trapped.
Shut up and stop panicking.
Well, what shall I do?
Oh, we could play two-handed poker.
This is no time for bad jokes. You and I are in a most compromising position.
I know.
I do beg your pardon. I'll come back later when you finish.
Come in, man, and stop gaping. If only we had a couple of crowbars.
One of those slings they use for loading elephants on ships.
Or we could light a fire under her. None of that may be necessary. I do believe she's turning over.
Free at last. Feels like a great weight's been taken off me.
Yes, we could ill afford to waste that time. Now, come on, lift her head.
What for, sir?
To get the chain off, you fool.
Well, you'll never get it off that way.
Annoy him, Williams. Now then, one, two, three.
A head's too big to get it over.
Oh.
Put her head down, Williams. Oh. I just noticed it's too big for the chain.
Well, why didn't you think of that, Franklin?
There must be some other way.
There is, cut
her head off, you mean.
No, ignore it, Tompkins, ignore it.
Well, sir, I've been thinking. If the margin won't come to Mohammed, look, her bed's on casters and the safe's just across the road. We could put her over in the bed and take the key to the safe.
Quiet, Tompkins. I think I'm getting a brilliant idea.
Oh, we haven't got time for that. Just do what he says and take the credit if it works. Now, come on, shoulders to the bed, and wagons roll!
Open the door. Hold it. Make sure the coast is clear before we cross the road, Tompkins.
All clear, sir.
Over we go, then. We've done it, chaps. We've done it. Oh, thank goodness I had that brainwave.
Well, we'll have to move her nearer the safe, sir. Hold it. Yes, that should do it.
Well, we're cutting it a bit fine, Tompkins. If we can't get the safe open and the plan substituted within 5 minutes, she'll be awake. She's not sleeping as soundly as she was.
Well, she's a big woman, sir. Two tablets would have been better.
Well, then why didn't you bring two?
Well, I did suggest it, sir, but you said one would be enough.
Always got an excuse ready, haven't you?
No.
Are your hands warm, Williams?
Yes, well.
You can fish out the key.
What's this, a lucky dip in the brand tub?
The key! Have you found it yet?
Well, I'm finding everything but...
Engelbert!
Oh, dear. Let's get her going now.
For heaven's sake, hurry!
Oh, Engelbert!
Oh! Now what?
She's got hold of my arm.
Do it again, Engelbert.
Get the key!
She won't let go of my arm. Here!
What?
She's dragging me into the bed.
Well, we've got less than a minute.
Oh, you can pack that in here, Mrs. Winterbottom. There are some things up with which I will not put.
What's she do?
I'm not saying.
Oh! Williams, get out of that bed. Oh. Tompkins, you see if you can get the key.
Oh, it's too late, sir. We'll never do it. She's waking.
Oh, damn her. Oh, we'll get her back to her room quickly.
Supposing she still got hold of me when she wakes up.
Well, you'll think of something.
I've already thought of something.
Hurry, Tompkins.
Well, look, I'd better see if there's anyone in the street.
There's no time for that. We'll just have to take a chance.
Sir Charles, there's a policeman coming.
Run, Tompkins.
But what about Mr. William?
Leave him.
Here, sir. Here, come back, sir.
Oh. Hey, oh. Oh. What's to do, then?
Oh, good evening, Constable Dracu. I mean, officer.
And what are we here, then? By the heck, what is the permissive society coming to? In my day, they did it in bus shelters and behind edges. Now they bring their double beds out with them.
Officer, I ask you, use your common sense. I mean, is it conceivable that I would want to have anything to do with her?
I find it more puzzling that she would want to have anything to do with you, sir.
Oh, dear.
You know this bed's parked on a double yellow line, don't you?
Thought it was jaundice.
Lucky for you, I'm just going off duty, sir. Otherwise, I'd have no hesitation in taking you and your bed and your concubine down to the station.
Concubine?
As it is, I'm warning you. Use a bit of restraint. You're worse than animals. I've taken a note of your face, and if I see it again, I'm throwing the book at it. Understand?
Yes, I understand, Constable, Sergeant, Superintendent.
It was all different. All different in my day. At least we'd have taken our boots off.
Has he gone?
Yes. Yes, you can safely return to the sinking ship now. Fine friends and comrades you turned out to be.
No. Tompkins ran off, and I went after him to bring him back. She's nearly awake. Come on.
Oh, Engelbert.
Oh, shut up. All right, so we failed. But it wasn't my fault.
Kindly pass me those shirts, Tompkins.
Here you are, Sir Charles.
I couldn't help her grabbing at me.
And the ties, please.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I mean, it could have happened to anybody, and I just happened to be handy.
What time is the first train to London tomorrow, Tompkins?
10:32, sir.
That should get us into the office in good time to get off the reports of our failure to the minister.
I did my best. No man could have done more.
You let me down, Williams. possibly at the cost of my GCB, my life's ambition. But more important, you let your country down.
Well, I'll make up for it on my next job.
Next job? What next job? Of what use would you be? Don't call us. We'll call you. Oh, come on, Tompkins.
I'm sorry it's turned out this way, Mr. Williams.
Tompkins!
Yeah, you're coming, Sir Charles. Goodbye, Mr. Williams.
Let my country down. Words of shame I never thought I'd ever hear. In Japan, it would be easy, hari-kari, the honorable way out, a cruel, cold sword on the bare, warm stomach. No good for me, though. I'm very ticklish down there. Oh, all I can do is let the merciful oblivion of sweet slumber heal the gaping wounds of bitter memory. Yes, I'll be dry as rain after good kip.
Who's that? Oh, I'll just go and have a look. Oh, it's old Mother Winterbottom. And she's got the plans in her hand.
Oh,
that's Zorro, the ventriloquist room.
Are you there, Professor?
He won't be there, Missus. He's gone to have a couple of gear and a giggle in Goldie's room. Look.
Oh, she's letting herself in. Now, what's she up to? If I nip through my communicating door, I might be able to have a much closer butcher's at my home.
Williams, my dear Williams, how on earth did you do it?
Just take the plans, Sir Charles, and give me the fake ones to put back, and then you go back to London, and I'll walk out of your life forever.
Oh, I say, have I hastily, inadvertently, in the stress of the moment, and without meaning to, said anything to upset you, old chap?
Sorry that I was useless, and had let my country down, and had done my last job for your department.
Which that damn Tompkins. Tompkins, have you been upsetting my best agent?
Of course not, Sir Charles.
Just like him. Nice as pie to your face, but wait until your back is turned. Give Mr. Williams the fake plans, ma'am, and put the real ones in a safe place.
Very good, Sir Charles. There we are, Mr. Williams.
Here.
Where did you find them, old son?
Well, old boy, you've always wondered how she got those secret documents and plans across to the Russians, didn't you? You always wondered about that, didn't you?
You found out?
I have indeed. One of the advantages of running a theatrical boarding house is that your guests often go on tour to the continent. She just hides the secret documents, or what have you, in a performer's props, and someone on the other side collects them from a theatre in due course. Tonight she happened to hide them in Professor Zorro's dummy Clarence. He tours Poland next week.
More or less as I suspected. Oh, I can feel my GCB tugging at my chest already. Well. Williams! You're a genius.
Thank
the
you.
Sort of son I always wished I'd had. There's one little lad, and he calls me Dad.
Shake hands with a millionaire.
Maisie, what are you doing here?
Well, I had to come, Kenny, to tell you that I'm leaving, walking out of your life forever.
It's all wrong, Maisie. You should have come hundreds of miles to tell me that. Greetings, telegram would have done.
Well, this is your lucky day, Kenny, because I'm not going.
Oh, what?
Well, now that Sir Charles has explained to me about that fat woman spy, and I know you're still pure, I realise how selfish I've been. So come on, everybody. There's one little lad. Come on, Kenny, you're not singing.
There's one little lad, and he called me Dad. Shake hands with me. Well, so there you are, you see. That was my big bedroom scene. 23 stone. I'm as terrified she'd roll over on me and bruise me ego. Well, but it does go to show, doesn't it, that two people can share a bed together without misconduct taking place.
Not if you shared it with me, Kenny. Not with me.
Blimey, it's misconduct in person. I'm off. See you next week. Bye.
That was Philip Williams, Richard Caldicott, Josephine Tewson, and Leslie Heritage in A Terribly Strange Bed. Also involved were Douglas Blackwell, Margot Boyd, and Michael Kilgariff. The organist for the show was Ted Taylor. The Secret Life of Kenneth Williams is written by Audie Wingfield. The script edited by Jerry Jones, and the series produced by Keith Williams.